Numbering the people seems like a good idea. A king who wants to know the strength of his army would figure out how big his army is. A responsible king that needs to protect his kingdom from invading forces, which Israel was surrounded by. The sons of Israel were surrounded by enemies. A responsible king, you would think, would number his people. And that's what David did in this story. But there was a terrible result, wasn't there? Did you hear what it said in our reading from 2 Samuel chapter 24? 70,000 people died as a result of King David numbering the people. Now, in order to understand why King David might have numbered the people, it helps to look at the context of this story. And when we do that, we'll see this morning how when we, like King David, might be tempted to number the people, or how when we, like King David, might actually number the people, then look back and see what we've done, this story will help us recover and will help us repent for numbering the people. So let's take a look at the context of this story in which David decided to number the people. The three chapters prior to chapter 24 begin with a conquest of the Philistines. The four mightiest Philistines who were threatening Israel, David and his men, defeated them. And then the next chapter is a wonderful song of thanksgiving from David to the Lord. This was near the end of David's time as king of Israel, near the end of his life. And he recounted all of the things that the Lord did for him and all of the things that the Lord did for the sons of Israel and for that nation. And all the things the Lord did for David. It was a beautiful song of thanksgiving to the Lord. And then the last chapter, right before this one, the 37 mighty men of valor for David, their names and their deeds are recounted. David is looking at his mightiest warriors and recounting what they did on behalf of him and on behalf of Israel to protect Israel from its enemies. So it's this state, near the end of David's life, near the end of his time as king, when he's regained control of Israel, when he has defeated the Philistines, some of their mightiest warriors threatening the nation, thanking the Lord for everything the Lord has done for him throughout his time as king, and then looking at his 37 mighty warriors and their incredible acts of valor on behalf of fighting for Israel. And it's that state where he decides, without warning in the scripture, to number the people. It seems to be a state of confidence, perhaps even a state of overconfidence, perhaps even a state of arrogance, which led King David to number the people. So let's take another look at a different part of the passage that we read a moment ago from Apocalypse Explained, where the Lord explains to us this morning what it means to number the people in this story. Another portion of Apocalypse Explained, 453. Israel and Judah represented and thence signified the Lord's kingdom in the heavens and on the earth. And to number signified to know their quality and to arrange and dispose accordingly, and that this belongs to the Lord alone. So that to number the people meant that King David wanted to know the internal state of the people. To number the people means he wanted to make a spiritual judgment on the internals of the people. So let's think about when we might be in a state like David was, where we look at our lives, and maybe it's a bad habit that we've made some progress with. And we can see the happiness that comes from the Lord when we made progress fighting against a bad habit, and the peace that comes. Or maybe it's a very serious evil that we've worked very hard to repent from, gone through a very serious repentance process, and can see how that part of our life is now one of joy from the Lord and peacefulness. David, remember, he sent Uriah out to die so he could be with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. When we look back at our lives and see evil things that we've done and have repented for, and now the happiness that the Lord gives us in that place, perhaps we're like David at the end of his life, looking back at his own life. Or David had some horrible things happen to him as well. His own son, Absalom. Not long before the story we read this morning, Absalom led a revolt of the nation of Israel against his father David. So when we look at our lives and see something horrible that may have happened to us, but yet can see that the Lord guided us through it, gave us strength to make it through it, and now gives us the peace and heavenly happiness that comes from relying on the Lord to get through the difficult times, we might be in this same state as David, then looking at his 37 mighty men of valor and all of the wonderful deeds they did for the nation. It might be a state like this when we're tempted to number the people, when we're tempted to make a spiritual judgment. So let's take a look at another passage the Lord teaches us about spiritual judgments, and this one from Conjugal Love. And it makes a very important distinction, and that's the distinction between civil and moral judgments, and then the prohibited kinds of judgments which are spiritual. We'll hear in a moment, we must make civil judgments. What is just and what is unjust? And moral judgments, what's right and wrong, good and evil, and act. But it's spiritual judgments, it's numbering the people. That's prohibited. From Conjugal Love 523, the Lord says, judge not that ye be not condemned. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. By which can by no means be meant the judgment of the moral and civil life of anyone in the world, but the judgment as to his spiritual and celestial life. Who does not see that if anyone may not judge as to the moral life of those that dwell with him in the world, society would perish? What would society be if there were no public judgments? Or if everyone might not form his own judgment of another? But to judge what is in is his interior mind or soul, what it is, thus what his spiritual state and therefore his lot after death, of this one may not judge. For it is known to the Lord only. So it's this state of spiritual judgment that David's decision, King David's decision to number the people, that's the state he was in. It's an evil state. It's invited from hell when we want to overstep our bounds and do what the Lord alone can do. And that's why this story starts off with such a jarring verse. Perhaps you picked it up. I'll read it one more time. And again, the anger of Yahuwah was fierce against Israel. Now in the heavenly doctrine, in the Lord's second coming, he teaches us the Lord is not angry. The Lord is love itself. The Lord is mercy itself. But then why does it say the anger of Yahuwah was fierce against Israel? When we're in a state where we've invited hellish ideas into our minds and are entertaining them, whether we recognize it or not, it is an unhappy state. And then when we see the Lord in his truth, it feels like anger. But it's only the unhappiness of hell's influence with us that makes it feel that way. So that's why the Lord begins this story with this explanation of the state that David was in, the state that we're in when we're considering or being tempted to make a spiritual judgment. Now, did you pick up who David commanded to number the people? It was a man named Joab, his military commander. Joab was a fierce and efficient military officer for King David. He carried out mission after mission on behalf of Israel, conquering enemies. But Joab was also a ruthless murderer. On at least three occasions, Joab murdered men who King David told him not to. On two of those occasions, there were men who Joab feared would be competition for him to be in charge of the army of Israel. So for us, who is Joab? Remember, Joab tried to get David, or at least tried to get David, to have a second thought about his decision to number the people. He said, why are you doing this? The Lord gives you these and these and 100 more. For us, Joab and us, is the part of us that will go out and do something, even when we know that it's wrong, and maybe put up a little bit of fight, but then go out and do it anyway. A good part of us wouldn't want to go out and make a spiritual judgment. Only the part of us that's like Joab. So that's the part of us we need to keep an eye on. Because do you remember what happened when Joab numbered the people? It was horrible. 70,000 people died of a pestilence or a plague. What a horrible result. Death here for us is what happens to the goodness we get from the Lord and his truth when we engage in the evil that leads us to a spiritual judgment. Any kind of evil will cause death inside of us, of the goodness that we get from the Lord to be useful for our neighbor, and the truths we get from the Lord so that we can be useful. So with spiritual judgments, love for the neighbor may begin to die inside of us if we say, this person's going to hell. I know this person's internal state. or the truths that the Lord gives us in the Word about spiritual murder, perhaps, are at risk when we're making spiritual judgments. That's the pestilence we're inviting on ourselves. The Lord doesn't bring it, like him being angry in the Scripture. The Lord doesn't bring it. It's an appearance. We bring it. We bring evil upon ourselves when we invite it in. But the Lord gives us the solution. The Lord doesn't just give us the problem. He knows we're going to do this, so he tells us how to recover as a result of doing something like this. And that's repentance. And it's repentance through, remember, Gad the prophet. The Lord sent Gad the prophet to King David. In the Word, prophets are the Word. And the Lord speaks to us through the Word. And remember, David said his heart smote him, and he said to the Lord, I've sinned. And that's when he sent Gad the prophet. When we recognize we've done something evil, we need to go to the Word and listen to the Lord's voice guiding us to recover from that evil state. So identify what we've done, and then go to the Lord for help. Pray to the Lord, and that's when he'll heal us. And that's exactly what David did in this story. He went to Araunah the Jebusite to build an altar and to make burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Araunah was a king of the Jebusites, and the land that he had, we're told in the heavenly doctrine, that's the very same location where Abraham offered the near sacrifice of his son Isaac, and where later Solomon would build the temple. The very same piece of ground. That's because that piece of ground in the Old Testament represents the presence of the Lord. That's where the Lord is. So we recognize the evil that we've done, the spiritual judgment that we've made. We go to the Word, we listen to the Lord talking to us, who says, come to me, meet him at the location that Araunah the Jebusite has to worship him. That's what burnt offerings and peace offerings are, worshiping the Lord. But there is a critical step in this story. And that critical step is there particularly to help us with the evil of spiritual judgments. And you remember David paid 50 shekels of silver. He didn't just take the kind offer from Araunah the Jebusite to build an altar and worship on that location without payment. He paid the 50 shekels of silver first. Silver is truth, and 50 in this story is a complete payment or a complete offering. When we've gotten into a habit of making spiritual judgments, of thinking we know where somebody will be to eternity or the quality of their soul, when we've taken on what only the Lord knows, in order to genuinely worship him so he can heal us, we have to give that back to the Lord. We have to, in our minds, know, and in our hearts, love the fact that it's the Lord alone who can make those kinds of judgments. We have to pay our 50 shekels of silver. We can't just try to worship the Lord and ignore that we've taken on for ourselves something only that the Lord can do. So when we find ourselves having made spiritual judgments, or even find ourselves struggling with the temptation to do it, we should go to the Lord, listen to him through his Word, like David listened to Gad the prophet, and worship him, read his Word, and think about how we need to live as a result of it. And if we have made a spiritual judgment, give back to the Lord what is his alone to do. And then if we do that, the pestilence inside of us will stop. We'll begin to love our neighbor more and more effectively as we learn more and more truths from the Lord on how to do that. And so summing up this whole process is why this story in 2 Samuel chapter 4 ends with the verse that it does. And David built there an altar unto Yahuwah and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings. And Yahuwah was supplicated. He was prayed to for the land. And the striking was restrained from Israel. Amen.